Good morning. It is time to get up with the Boston Three Party. The Celtics bump the Bucks. Are they now the favorites to win it all? Meanwhile, Luka rising from the ashes in Phoenix. He was brilliant, but what the actual heck happened to the Suns? We've got the right people to answer those questions. Plus, the Saints just might have one more superstar come marching in, and he might change just about everything. It's all on the way as we get up with you, starting right now. Off a day in which we had four Game 7s, two from the NHL, they both went to overtime. Rangers, Penguins, that's Artemi Panarin with the finish in overtime. That's a 4-3 final. The Rangers escape after trailing 3-1. They come all the way back to win it in Game 7. They face the Hurricanes next, but wait, there's more. Overtime drama in Calgary, tied at 2. Johnny Gaudreau, rebound, right place, right time, right result, beating Jake Ottinger, who was spectacular all night. He made 64 saves, but he needed a 65th, and so it is the Flames who will advance to play the Oilers in the second round. So a tough night on the ice for Dallas. In basketball, things went a little better, and things are going well for us as well. J.J. Redick is here, but that's not the news. Pat Bev is in the studio for the first time.
Thank you.
It is a delight to have you here. Thank you. He's already given J.J. the business, so you're already a friend to all of us. Oh, and Windy is live from Boston this morning as well. He's ready to go. We start with one of the most stunning results I can think of in recent and maybe not even just recent playoff memory. Game 7 in Phoenix. We expected Luka to be brilliant. That was no problem. But J.J., Devin Booker, and Chris Paul, 0-for-11 in the first half.
Give the Mavericks a lot of credit here. They really limited these guys. They blitzed Booker on all dribble handoffs, all pick and rolls. They shaded Chris to his left. Just a great game plan from them. And with all the pettiness in this series, Luka Doncic was out for blood from the start.
And so was Spencer Dinwiddie, a step back three. Luka loves what he's seeing. Then Luka's back on the floor. Mavs start pulling away, JJ, in the second quarter.
Yeah. Unfortunately, this wasn't much of a game seven. And again, the Mavericks had a game plan. They executed it. And when you have the shot-making brilliance of Luka Doncic, you have Spencer Dinwiddie stepping up, playing at highly efficient basketball.
Look at this.
There's just not a whole lot that the Suns could do in this game.
There certainly wasn't much Cam Johnson could do there. Look at the watch party in Dallas. They're fired up. They're up 30 at the break. At halftime, it was Luka 27, Phoenix 27. And you thought, all right, the Suns are going to find something in halftime, and they will come out firing. And you know what? It was just the opposite, JJ. They never got back in the game.
More of the same. Again, Luka step back threes. Anytime they doubled him, it was a quick swing pass to Jalen Brunson in the corner or Reggie Bullock in the corner. They had nobody that could stop Luka, and if you sent help, they made him pay.
He had 35 only because he didn't need 65. The Mavericks win by 33, and it wasn't that close. Jason Kidd, how'd it do it?
We don't know how far this can go. That's why we got to play him. That's why we showed up to play this evening. No one gave us a chance. A lot of people said it was going to be a blowout. Well, they were right. But they didn't have us on the winning side.
Were you aware at halftime you had as many points as the Suns?
Yeah, of course.
It's unbelievably funny. There's nothing funny, however, about this. It's the fifth time that Chris Paul has blown a 2-0 series lead in a best of seven. The only other player in NBA history to blow even three such leads is Paul's former teammate, Blake Griffin. CP3 and the Suns also blew a 2-0 final series lead last season against the Bucks. And so let me come out here. There's so much to be said. And Pat Bev, we will give you the first crack. How do we explain? Look, congratulations to the Mavs and Luka. We will have plenty of time to talk about them.
Yeah.
But the no-show of the Suns, who were the best team in the NBA all year long, was stunning to a lot of people. How do you explain what we saw?
I mean, I wasn't surprised at all. You look at the roster top to bottom, you know, Dallas roster, Phoenix roster. I like Dallas roster better without Tim Hardaway still in it. They have no one that can guard Luka. They have no one that can really guard any position. They put themselves in a bad position this last couple games. Luka, all the shots that Luka made tonight, he shot all those same shots the last games before. Fortunately, they were able to go down tonight. But it was a problem to start with. I said before the series, this is a very interesting series. No one can guard Luka. I don't really trust anyone in Phoenix. No one's never done it before. This is their just second time.
Yeah.
It's not like they're proven. You know, it's their second time in the playoffs. And And Luka's been playing plenty of game seven. He showed why last night.
Well, let's be clear here. So for most of those Suns stars, this was just the second go around. Obviously for Chris Paul.
Who do you mean stars?
Well, I'm talking about Devin Booker.
Okay, one.
DeAndre Ayton.
One.
Mikal Bridges.
No. Let's stop.
Oh, I mean, just on one.
Just Devin Booker.
So Devin Booker, is, in your view, the only star on that team. But you're saying the roster, a lot of us looked at it as though it's basically Luka by himself against the Suns. You're saying that was the wrong way to look at
it. Yeah, I think you should have looked at the opposite. I think that the supporting cast, when Luka came out this year, he was injured a little bit. The guys still hold it down. They still play well. Same with the Phoenix Suns, but the Phoenix Suns wasn't playing anybody. If you looked at the teams that they played during out the year. I mean, Luka's a stud. He's been a stud. We're not surprised about that. I really don't see any other studs besides, you know, Devin Booker on the Phoenix Suns.
So let me, JJ, I'll come to you in a minute. Just stay with us, JJ. I got an interesting conversation working over here. The Chris Paul of it all. We just gave the stat. All these times that he has been in front and had these opportunities, 2-0 up in the finals last year, 2-0 up in this series here. How do you explain, why does this keep happening to Chris Paul?
I mean, I would say, you know, bad luck, but I really don't believe in luck. I mean, I believe you impose your will on whatever game that you're in. It's unfortunate. Obviously, we all know Chris is probably going to come back. He's going to have a great year. But for right now, man, y'all got to come on. It's okay to give CP a little slander. You guys give Paul George the slander when he was in the bubble. You guys give James Harden the slander. Talking about his contract. It's okay to give CP some slander.
Yeah.
It's okay. He needed to play better. He didn't play better. He didn't play better games we need to play. And it's just unfortunate. And he has to look himself in the mirror. And his teammates have to look at him, too, as being one of the leaders.
It is remarkable, JJ, because as recently as game two of this series, Chris Paul looked like he was the best player on the floor. Jalen was in here talking about how he's like a classic car as opposed to a used car. And literally from that moment forward, it just disappeared completely for Chris Paul. How do we explain it?
Well, we should mention Pat may have a little bit of a personal history with CP. So no, there's some bias.
We're all
there.
Well aware of that.
But I think.
And we're delighted, candidly, that he's here.
I think Pat's point about CP slander is warranted. Look, this is five straight games now where we saw him struggle. The Mavs had a clear strategy. On offense, we're going to be up in his pick and rolls. We're not going to allow him to snake and get to that elbow pull-up. We're going to switch. We're going to shade him to his left. You know, he struggles finishing going left. He struggles shooting going left. So that's a great strategy. On defense, I've never seen a team hunt Chris Paul like the Mavericks hunted him in this series. And Luka wanted all that smoke. Every time CP was on him, he was going right at CP. I think this is a case, big picture here, I think this is a case of the Suns' shot profile catching up with them. This is a team that doesn't shoot a lot of threes. This is a team that doesn't get to the free throw line. They were bottom five in the league in both of those categories in the regular season. They were second worst in the playoff in both of those categories. Yes, you can talk about Devin Booker and CP feasting in the mid-range, but at some point, that shot profile caught up with them.
Let me get Brian Windhorst in here. Wendy, as you were listening here, obviously fascinating, and you were the one who said it to me this morning on our call, that you've never been as surprised by a result, or it's one of the more surprising results you've seen in a long time as well. What's your take here?
I'm not going to contradict anything that JJ just said. I'm not going to contradict anything that Bev just said, although I'm looking for my scorecard of everybody who Bev's got bad blood with. It's hard to keep track of it. What I can't figure out is, and look, and even if Luka comes in here, this is a potentially all-time great player, if he comes in here and scores 50 points and pulls out a win, and by the way, he might have scored 50, he had 35 in 30 minutes. That's one thing. The Phoenix Suns, I spent a lot of time with them this year. I was there when the Robert Sarver stuff came out. I was there at midseason when they had big games. I covered their series with the Pelicans, the entire series. They are one of the most focused teams, one of the most clutch teams that I've ever seen. The stats back it up. Chris Paul, no matter what you want to say about him, goes 14 of 14 shooting on the road in New Orleans in Game 6. That they laid that egg, that they had that dud, that it didn't just come down to a great player beating a good team in a single game situation, I can't explain that. I can't explain strategy differences. JJ, you are right. The Suns were shooting ridiculously high on long two-pointers in the first seven or eight games of the postseason, and they were bound to regress to the mean. I still cannot explain how they get blown out on their home court in this situation. That one I'm going to have to do some investigation on. I don't have an answer for you.
Whoa.
Go, Pat Bev, go.
Hey, now, you can't follow this team the whole year. and say how great of a team, how focused they are, and then get on here and get on here in front of all these people that's watching right now and tell me that you don't have anything to say now. I mean, you just can't do that.
So what is it we should be saying? Tell me what we should be saying. Did they look tight last night? Did they choke? I'm trying to make sure I understand what you're
leading. I don't think it was a tightness. I don't think it was a choke. They played a really good team.
Yeah.
And a really good player and lost. Simple as that.
Right, but all through the season, I mean, they had the best record in
by
the NBA,
50,
right?
Ben. They lost by 50.
And that's the thing. When you guys are up here discussing basketball, preseason is a monster. Regular season is a monster. Playoff is another monster. Elimination games are a whole nother monster. So you can't take what you see regular season and apply. Of course, no one has the time to scout for a back-to-back against Phoenix. They run their offense. The referees know what's going on. Chris Paul go getting the bonus all the time. They go call little petty fouls during the season. But in the playoffs, now you got to really lace them up. You have to guard. You have to go over. You have to make plays. No one in the Phoenix Suns got in the paint. Name me one player who got in the paint and just kicked out. No one. They can't get past their players. Booker's getting in there to get his own money. So, I mean, come on, B. You got to give me something better than that, babe. You can't give me something better than that. I don't know.
Bev. Go ahead, Brian.
Bev, he goes 14 of 14 in a closeout elimination game like two
against
weeks
who?
Ago.
A play-in team.
This. They were, right. Bev, they
exactly.
were not. That's a good team. That's a
Ooh.
Good team. Look,
New Orleans.
Again,
they're
and if you want to say that that's why they lose the series, I'm going to agree with you. But to score 27 points on your home court in a game seven for a team that won 64 games, Bev, I've never seen it. I've never seen it, man. And I got to say,
before,
like,
you just see they had trouble scoring the game before.
They really did. But can I ask you about another thing here? I'm just going to stay with this for a minute here, guys, and we'll get to Boston whenever we get to Boston. But I think this is interesting to me. One thing we haven't even mentioned yet is that DeAndre Ayton got benched in this game. And after the game was over, they asked Monty Williams about it. He said it was internal. That's quite another event to take place. And, Wendy, we don't quite have the information at this point as to exactly what it is that transpired. But he plays 17 minutes last night and played very badly, but he certainly wasn't alone on that front with Phoenix. But to bench one of your most important players, JJ, in game seven of a playoff series, something must have happened. And again, to this point, we don't know exactly what it was.
Well, we don't know, but I think that's emblematic of the effort that the Suns had yesterday. Oh. There was just no sense of urgency. To do that in a game seven at home is befuddling. And Pat, you know, you've played against Luka twice now in elimination games.
Yeah.
I got to imagine you were not shocked at all to see him come out and play the way he did.
No.
Like, I don't think we should be as shocked that the Mavs won. We should be shocked, and I was as well watching last night, shocked by the Suns' effort and whatever was going on with that team internally.
Right, that's, I think, the point we're trying to make here, Pat Bev, is that no one is, if Luka, that's what Wendy just said, if Luka had scored 60 last night and they win by six, we would have all said, unbelievable player. The Suns didn't show up. They didn't play. They scored 27 points in the first half on their home floor in a game seven for a team that, however good or bad we think they were, they did win 64 games this year. It is something that I think has stunned a lot of people. How do you explain it?
First off, I know a lot of them, I'm going to get a lot for this, but, you know, I don't really care. They benched the wrong person. Should have benched Chris. And I'm not saying bench him now. Once you see they starting attacking Chris early, and you know that might become a problem later on, you need to see how my team works without Chris in the game a little bit. I got benched. We won, though.
Right,
so
right.
You don't even remember that.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, as a coach, you have to understand, like, man, I have to understand they're attacking my main guy. I can't get buckets from him. I have to make an adjustment, whatever that adjustment is. And that's no fault against Monty. He's a great coach of the year. But T. Lou, if T. Lou's there, he's making that decision. It's a hard decision, but he's making it.
He's benching Chris Paul in game seven.
Not benching him, but spurts here. We got to see something else. I mean, apparently it didn't work.
Acknowledging that it has become a problem, and despite his stature, I'm just making sure I'm understanding, despite his stature in the game.
Coach the game, not the player.
Coach the game, not the player. What do you think of that, JJ?
I think there's some validity to that, and I'll say because of the way they were playing Devin Booker, basically blitzing everything, whether that was the backside action on the dribble handoff, whether that was the step-up pick and rolls, they always had two on the ball with him. If CP is unwilling to shoot, unwilling to be aggressive, I agree with that. Here's a lost opportunity to me. James Johnson, for the last two trade deadlines, has preached continuity. I think they had an opportunity this year to go out and get a third shot creator. Eric Gordon was available in Houston. I know the Phoenix Suns fans wanted Eric Gordon to be there. That, to me, changes the complexity of this team because you do need someone who's able to attack. Someone, I'm not saying they could have got Jordan Clarkson, but someone like that. And Eric Gordon is one of those guys. You needed that third shot creator.
Pat Bev, I'm going to ask this question and duck. But there were reports that Chris Paul had a quad injury that he may have suffered at some point during the series, and he was limping after the game. Now, as one who follows you on Twitter, I have a feeling I know where you're going to go with this. But what do you make of the fact that it seems Chris Paul, at some point in the series, maybe in Game 6, suffered a quad injury?
Everyone's hurt in the playoffs. Mm. Everyone, right? He did the right thing by not saying it, but I tweeted at halftime. Down 20, let's see who pulls the old I'm hurt to do, you know. Unfortunately, you don't want to wish injury on anybody, but it's kind of makeup of the game. I play against Chris, and it's not being biased, JJ. I know studs when I play against him, and I don't feel that from him. Yeah. I don't feel what I felt as an older player. I don't feel what I felt with Luka, with Chris Paul. It's just two different dogs, and there's no discredit against CP. He gonna go up Hall of Fame. Of course, but I came on here to make sure the slander is correct because you guys give out a lot of slander to a lot of people undeservingly. Now it's time to, you know, give it to, you know, the president of the NBA. I want to see how you guys take that. That's all I'm saying.
That's fair. So, look, Chris Paul played terribly the last five games of the series. We just put the numbers up there. He averaged 9-point-something points for a guy who is, to your point.
For the series?
For the last five games of the series, from the point they were up 2-0 in the series. We can put the graphic back up there, Bianna, when you get a chance. You'll find it for us that we had it up there. But Chris Paul's numbers went from whatever he was averaging to 9-point-something points per game over the last five games, in which they lost 4 out of the 5. So I think it is complete. There it is. First 8 games of this postseason, there you see it. He averaged 22.5 points. And look at the assists. I mean, the numbers fell off substantially, and the turnovers went up. So how do you explain it, Pat Bev? What should we say?
Getting attacked. You got to work on your conditioning in the summer. You got to be able to guard the ball. You got to be able to play make. You got to be able to score. That has all to do with conditioning. You know, he's been attacked. He's not used to that. Jason Kidd had a great game plan. He knew what he was doing exactly the first time he played them. And don't be surprised if you see this throughout the rest of Chris Paul's career. Coach is taking this. Attack Chris Paul. See what you go. Phoenix is in a tough position.
Yeah.
And you speak about James Harden getting paid and the money that CP3 make. I mean, that's a valid standpoint why James Harden should get paid at the same time.
He has multiple years left on his contract. He turned 37 a week and a half ago. Sometime during this series, Chris Paul turned 37 years old. In fact, I think it was on the day of Game 3 when everything really started to fall apart, which, of course, is a coincidence. Wendy, let me get one more thought from you in here. Go ahead. What do you make of all this?
Well, I agree with Beverly that the game plan that Jason Kidd put out there made Chris Paul uncomfortable. One of the things, even as the Suns had a terrific regular season, Chris Paul often would moderate his energy and save it all up for the fourth quarter and attack. We definitely saw that in the first round against the Pelicans. He was dominant in the fourth quarter. And Jason Kidd, a point guard, one of the greatest of all time, who knows what point guards like and don't like, especially later in their career, said, "We are not going to give Chris Paul that luxury. We are going to make him work from the first quarter." They started working on winning the game from the first quarter, and that is something that I think definitely was a factor. I just can't explain the turnovers. This is one of the greatest assist-to-turnover players in the history of the game. His assist-to-turnover ratio completely fell apart over these last five games. And so if he doesn't make baskets, they can win. If he can't create baskets, they can't win.
And so, JJ, just sort of put a ribbon on this, and we will get to the Celtics and all the rest of it here. We got Pat Bev with us all morning long, and we are and the whole crew here, and we're delighted for it. The reality is, one could sit here and say, well, he's 37 years old now, but the truth is these stats go all the way back. The history of postseason disappointment is one of the narratives with Chris Paul. It has been a long time. It's unavoidable.
Let's take these five games out of it for a second. So after game two, let's just look at it from that perspective. His numbers are actually better for his career in the postseason. So it's not his necessarily bad play. My question or my comment to Pat, and I think Pat nailed it when he said that Luka is in a different category. Chris Paul, if he is your best player or one of your two best players, it is shown historically like that's not good enough to win a championship. A Luka, a Giannis. These guys are in a different category because they are singular forces. LeBron James can drag a team to a NBA Finals and put you in a position to win a championship. It's two different categories. Chris Paul, absolutely. Hall of Famer, one of the best point guards ever. The one thing missing from his resume, you know, it's glaring and it's there.
All right, we've got Pat Bev, we got JJ, we got Wendy, we got plenty more to come as we go here. As we roll along, we will have more on this. Again, Game 7 was just in every single way a disaster for Chris Paul and the Suns. What does it do to the legacy of the man they call the point god? We'll continue talking about it. We'll also get you to Boston. We will get to the Celtic game. And then, oh, by the way, a Saints legend could come marching back into New Orleans, a blockbuster that could change everything in the NFC. We got a spirited Monday working here. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Get Up is brought to you by Toyota. Let's go places. And you know who was going places yesterday right here in this city, guys? Tom Brady jumped on a city bike. And these are public bikes you get in New York. And he just rode around and he put it on TikTok because he's Tom Brady and he can do anything. JJ, your thoughts?
There's got to be some level of danger. If you're, you know, his head coach, whatever it is, like, you got to be worried. He's not even wearing a helmet. And he's riding around New York City doing crosswalks with his cell phone in his hand.
Pat Bev, your thoughts?
Go. You do whatever you want when you're the GOAT.
It seems reasonable. Yeah. I mean, the man's riding a city bike around. How'd you like to be riding a city bike around the city? These are these bike paths they have up and down the West Side Highway. And he's just riding around there, and that's Tom Brady riding past you on a city bike. There you have it. As we continue, what the actual heck happened to Chris Paul and the Suns last night? What does it mean for his legacy? We're talking about it. Pat Bev's in the house all morning long. Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We're back on Get Up, and D. Wood is up early, and he's enjoying the show. Pat Bev letting it rip on Get Up this morning. Pat Bev, people are into it so far here today.
I didn't know what letting it rip means. I thought it was something else, but I'll take that.
Okay. I think it's a positive statement. That's D. Wood.
I'm absolutely shocked that Pat Bev is being candid and honest right now. Like, Pat, I've never seen this side of you.
A lot of people haven't. They just think I'm just this guy that just run around, I guess, with a jersey, just throwing it around. Like, yeah.
In our first commercial break, I literally turned to Pat Bev and I said, where do you want to go as we continue? I'm willing to do the rest of the show based on what you're interested in. Let's go to the Eastern Conference semifinals yesterday. Game 7 in Boston between those two awesome young stars. Giannis, so brilliant throughout this entire postseason. Jason Tatum coming off the 46-point Game 6. And it was Tatum who had the edge yesterday, JJ.
Yeah, Tatum has had some inefficient games. Yesterday was not one of those. I thought he played under control. His shot selection was great. Made some outstanding passes as a playmaker.
And then you saw Giannis on the other end missing the kind of shot he generally does it, maybe just sort of running out of steam through what has been such an incredible postseason run. Jason Tatum knocking down a three there as the Celtics in the third quarter started opening up what had been a five-point halftime lead. And then Grant Williams just took over.
Well, it's a bold strategy to leave a guy who's a 41% three-point shooter open for set shots 17 times. I'm not including the 18th one because that was the end of shot clock, half-court heave. I don't understand the strategy there from the Bucks. And you're going to show this a bunch, I'm sure, all day today. Giannis really struggled to finish in that second half. And maybe it was he ran out of steam.
He had 1-for-10 on contested attempts in the second half. Meanwhile, Grant Williams, as you mentioned, made 7 threes. 7 of 18 is the official number. Finished with 27 points. And this one was all over headed through the fourth quarter. Tatum finished with 23. The Celtics advance. They'll be in Miami tomorrow night. Meanwhile, Giannis off a tough day.
You know, shots that I usually make wasn't going in. But you know, that's basketball, you know. That's sports. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. There's a win, there's a loser. So, but you got to live with it.
I believe in myself. I believe in this team. You know, I expected to play the way I did. I expected for us to respond the way we did. So enjoy it right now. Go home, pack my bag, and, you know, get ready for the next one. Go to Miami.
All right, and he's sitting there. And just take a look at the company that Jason Tatum is now keeping. This is most playoff points before turning 25 years old. KD, Tony Parker, LeBron, Kobe Bryant, that's where giants live, and that's where Jason Tatum is headed now. So let's bring it back out here again with Pat Bev and J.J. Redick and Brian Windhorst, who's in Boston, covered this series for us. But Pat Bev, I will give you the first thoughts here. Let's talk about Giannis. Again, we'll have plenty of time to talk about the Celtics. But for the defending champs, their season comes to an end. They had to go through pretty much the entire postseason without Chris Middleton, their number two player. Giannis carried them about as far as he could. What is your overall takeaway on Giannis as his season comes to an end?
Hell of a stud. Played extremely well. Gave everything he can give. Health is really important. They missed Chris Middleton in the series. Everyone knows it. Forced Giannis to do a lot. Forced the others to do a lot. Jrue Holiday had to kind of play out of position a little bit more. Health is important, and it showed now.
JJ, there is some question that I've seen all over Twitter and other places from people saying that the defensive strategy of the Bucks, which basically is to pack it in the paint with their big guys and dare you to beat them from three, and an unwillingness to change that even when it was clearly killing them in a Game 7, I'm seeing some criticism of that decision. What do you think?
They've had this basic defensive philosophy for years now. Yeah. You know, since they got Brook Lopez, they pack the paint. They give up the most threes in the NBA across the regular season for years now. This is who they are defensively. It's tough to make that adjustment mid-series, mid-game. I just, for me, it was shocking to see them basically say Grant Williams, who has had a great season shooting the basketball, was 50% in the first round against the Nets, 37% coming into this game in this series. Just, yeah, tee us up. That was really shocking. But I think what this, Pat brought it up, and I think what this series really showed is the value of Chris Middleton. Oh. You know, in that playoff run last year, he averaged 24 points a game, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. They could not score in the half court against this Boston defense, and that's where Middleton would make a difference.
I think that's fair. Look, if you take Jaylen Brown off the Celtics, they're not going to win this series because he's their second best player. And I'm not comparing the two players, but he's their second best player.
2A.
Okay, fair
2A,
enough.
2A, 2B, because Marcus Smart is yeah, definitely.
Marcus Smart might be their most important player, right? Okay. Based upon the leadership. He brings so much. See, Marcus Smart is a fascinating guy to me. Yeah. Wendy, I'm coming to you in a second, I promise. He's a fascinating guy to me because Marcus Smart is one of those guys that if you're a a fan of another team, he drives you crazy. Yeah. But now when you really sit and watch how much he brings to that team, the way he was the one who was willing, it seems, during this season to sort of call out the way they were playing and tell Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, hey, if you don't want them to trade one of you two guys, this is what we need to do. I think that was the turning point of their entire season, and it might take them all the way to a championship.
Yeah, agree. I don't know all the way to the championship, but he definitely ruffled some feathers and got into some guys and forced them to look in the mirror and establish their play on the basketball court. But, you know, what he does, you can't really put in a jar, you know. Like, it might be something different every game. You know, you see he came, the last game, he turned it over a half, mm-hmm. Came back this game, tip dunks and all the small things, which leads you to wins like this in the playoffs.
Yeah, as one who's just been a reporter all of my life, to see the way he had the two plays that cost them at the end of game five, and then for him to come right out there, own it in the post-game press conference and say, we're going to go to Milwaukee and win this game. That's what leadership looks like, and that's what he did. Wendy, you covered that series for us here. You were there in Boston yesterday. What are the biggest takeaways?
He's been in Boston all year.
One of the unexpected things that happened in this series is that the Robert Williams injury helped the Celtics. This is a guy that they were begging to get back coming off the meniscus injury, but it enabled Boston to play a more shooting lineup. And JJ, you're right. I think leaving Grant Williams open blew up in their face. But when you looked at the numbers, all the rest of their guys were shooting over 40% from three in this series. He was the least evil option. Although I would say after maybe he hit three, maybe they should have changed that up. 53 more three-pointers the Celtics hit in this series than the Bucks. That is an unsurvivable ratio. And I would say this, on one hand, the Bucks, it was amazing that they got to a closeout opportunity on their home court without Chris Middleton. On the other hand, Jason Tatum, 46 points in Milwaukee, an all-time great performance in an elimination game for a Celtic. Maybe they win the title, maybe they don't. But if they do, it was because Jason Tatum bailed them out, bought them a chance to do it as a team in Game 7.
I think we're overlooking one important thing about this Milwaukee Bucks team relative to last year, and that is the loss of P.J. Tucker. Mm. And at the beginning of the season, that was a question mark I had. Would this come back to bite them in the playoffs? And so one of the reasons you have to leave Grant Williams open in the playoffs is because your rotation is thin. Grayson Allen didn't have a good series. Chris Middleton is out. You've got to play Brook Lopez. And Brook Lopez is going to pack the paint. You do not want him out on the perimeter. They could have gone small. I'm not saying P.J. Tucker would have solved their issues in the half-court offense. But defensively, it would have gave them another option to play a smaller lineup. Yeah. And you don't have to leave people open.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree with that. And it kind of takes the energy away from Giannis, too. He doesn't have to guard everybody. This man is guarding everybody. He's scoring the ball. He's guarding everybody. I mean, like I spoke about the last, condition is a real serious thing. Mm-hmm. Boy, wore him down at the end. You got to give, it's JJ knows it's hard. It's very hard winning in Boston. You have to give him a lot of crowd. Their fans are for sure six man, top tier. Very hard winning in Boston, and you have to give Boston a lot of credit, man. They made shots, and they need to make shots.
Torrey, I'm going to keep it here a minute, and we'll get to the other stuff a little bit later. Let's just live in this for a minute here if we can. Let me just get a take from you on Tatum, if I can. Uh-huh. Again, we showed the numbers up there. He's not yet 25 years old, and the game, Wendy just pointed out, that game six, if the Celtics do win the championship, and look, there's only four teams left, so they obviously have a real chance. If they do, that game could become elevated to sort of one of those legendary games, and one wonders, is that the night we're going to look back on and say that's the night Jason Tatum became one of the absolute ultra elite players in the NBA? Is he that guy in your view?
He is that guy right now.
He's that guy right now?
He's that guy right now. You asked me before the season, I wouldn't think that. You know, mm-hmm. facing Jason Tatum all these past years, I wouldn't think that. But right now, he is the guy, and you have to give him a lot of credit. He's prepared himself to get ready. He's worked on his game. He is the guy right now.
He first team All-NBA this year. I know, JJ, you put him first team All-NBA. We had this long back and forth about whether Embiid would go on the first. But one way or another, he's that level of player now, right? He's a future MVP waiting to happen, right?
Absolutely. And he'll be that for years to come. We had a conversation a few weeks ago, before game three, during game three of the Nets-Celtics series. If you were to start over right now, Pat Bev, you were to start over for the next 5 years, 10 years, how many guys are you taking ahead of Tatum? It's not many.
No.
There's not many.
No.
It may literally have been the two that we saw yesterday.
Yeah.
It might be Luka Doncic and Giannis, and that might be it.
Yeah.
It might be those two guys, and then Tatum might, at this point, be next. Okay, we are sort of making this up as we go along, but Pat Bev is riding with us here, and we're just riding him as far as we can go. Meantime, I'm headed to Miami right after the show today, because tomorrow night, it's a huge night in the NBA on ESPN. Yes, sir, we're going down. Pat Bev, come with us. We'd be delighted to have you. Tomorrow night, we will have a 1-hour NBA countdown on ESPN at 7. Pat Bev, you're invited. And then we got the draft lottery coming up after that from Chicago. And then we got game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. It's all tomorrow night here on ESPN. Pat Bev, book him a seat. Get him a seat.
No,
I'm on the Delta flight this afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He's coming with us. As we continue with just a moment here, we have a little football to get to. A Saints legend, Pat Bev, could come marching back into New Orleans. Could this change everything? We'll tell you who it is right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Malika Andrews, host of NBA Today, and we're hitting the road with a whole crew.
I'm the most unbiased person on this panel.
So get ready for some special guests. At what point did you know?
Yeah, night before.
All the breaking news.
There's a growing confidence that Joel Embiid will be back.
And of course, unforgettable moments. Is that my watch? No! I guess that says it all! Join us for NBA Today weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN.
All right, yesterday, an unbelievable night of Game 7s. We showed you what happened in the afternoon in Boston. If you're just joining us, this is what happened last night in Phoenix. An absolute stunner. Devin Booker and Chris Paul for the 64-win Suns just had nothing last night for the Mavericks. They combined to go 0-for-11 in the first half. Meanwhile, Luka Doncic was ridiculous. He had 27 points at the half. And that's exactly how many points the Suns had at the half. Luka and the Suns were tied at halftime. The rest of the Mavericks, meanwhile, and their fans were just delighting in what was going on. In the second half, you thought maybe the Suns would try and make a run. They didn't even get close. That's Luka again. He had 35 only because he didn't need more. They win huge, and so it was a great night for Dallas in the NBA. Not so great for Dallas in the NHL. Let's go to their Game 7 Flames and Stars. Stars up 2-1 midway through the second. Johnny Gaudreau dropping it. Matthew Tkachuk, right place, right time, roofs it, and he's got it. We head to overtime, tied at 2. Could you ask for more overtime in a Game 7? Here we go. Jake Oettinger was just spectacular in the net all night long, making stops from every angle, had everyone talking. He was buzzing 64 total saves on the night. But as it turned out, he needed a 65th. Here's the call from Bob Wischusen.
The rebound to Gaudreau. He shoots.
Over the shoulder, Flames win it 3-2 in overtime, and you see the celebration. Flames take the series in 7. They will play the Oilers in the next round. Meanwhile, right here in New York, we had Penguins-Rangers Game 7, and Sidney Crosby back for the Pens. Missed a game with a concussion. We got 3 minutes left in the second. We're tied at 2. Rangers on a power play, but hold on. They're going to give it away, and here comes Evan Rodriguez. A shorthander to give the Penguins a 3-2 lead headed to the third. Now we're in that third, less than 6 minutes to play, perhaps, in the season. And it's Mika Zibanejad open in the right faceoff circle. The wrister, and he's got it. We're tied, and this one would go to overtime. Could you possibly ask for more drama? A second overtime in Game 7. Here's the call, Sam Rosen on MSG.
Now Panarin moves in. He shoots. He scores! He scores! Rangers! Rangers! Rangers win!
Panarin with the overtime winner, the second career playoff overtime goal for him. Rangers take it 4-3. They come all the way back from 3-1 down in the series, and they will face Carolina in the next round. And oh, by the way, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time is talking about coming back. Drew Brees, who spent last season in the booth for NBC after retiring, set off a stir on Twitter yesterday, all right? So his old team, the Saints, have made some big signings, right? They signed Jarvis Landry. They signed Tyrann Mathieu. And he tweeted, boy, signing those guys makes me want to come back and play. Great additions, leaders, and players. Then there was a report in the New York Post that Drew Brees is not going back to NBC next year. And so Drew tweeted in response, despite speculation from media about my future this fall, I'm currently undecided. I may work for NBC. I may play football again. I may focus on business and philanthropy. I may train for the pickleball tour, senior golf tour, coach my kids, or all of the above. I'll let you know. So hold everything. Let me bring Lewis Riddick and my insider Dan Graziano into the conversation. Dan, he just sort of somewhat casually throws in the possibility of coming back. Is that something people were taking seriously?
No, I don't think so. Look, he equated the possibility of playing football again with the possibility of joining the pickleball tour. Is there even a pickleball tour? I'm not sure. I think, look, I wouldn't take it too seriously. I don't think there's, I mean, this is a guy, the last time we saw him play was a couple seasons ago, and it wasn't going very well. He didn't play last year. He had surgery on his left shoulder, non-throwing shoulder, but he had surgery within the last couple of months. So you'd be talking about a guy at 43 coming off a season where he didn't play and rehabbing an injury of some sort. Greeny, I think there's a better chance of you or I playing quarterback in the NFL this year than there is of Drew Brees doing it, quite honestly.
Okay, fair enough. And that makes it unlikely, although I have taken a few phone calls, Lewis, and so I don't know. It's not inconceivable. I'm loosening up the old right shoulder. The reality of it is that what sort of started this conversation, Lewis, are these acquisitions by the Saints. Mm-hmm. And don't look now, but that looks like a team that could do some damage, yes?
There's no question about it. Look, offensively, this wide receiver room in particular, Greeny, it looks totally different than the wide receiver room we watched last year. We watched them live, watch them on TV, and just watch them struggle. Look, and this was when Jameis Winston was still there. And talking to Sean Payton last year, look, he really wanted to change the complexion of this offense. He wanted to be more of a vertical strike type of offense. And they just didn't have the people now. Well, now, look at what they got in that wide receiver room. If Mike Thomas comes back healthy, you've got your do-it-all wide receiver. Jarvis Landry, you've got your in-between-the-numbers, dirty-work wide receiver. Chris Olave, you've got your super smooth, rookie, young, fresh legs, deep-threat wide receiver. Alvin Kamara's there. You had one of the best dual-threat running backs in the NFL, period. They tried to go ahead and fortify this offensive line draft in Trevor Penning out of Northern Iowa. We talked about him at the draft to play left or right tackle. Look, this offense right now, I think, looks spectacular. Defensively, they're always going to be good. Dennis Allen taking over for this team as the new head coach. He will have them playing. And Tyrann will just bring them more leadership in the middle of the field, which is where you need it anyway. And him and DeMario Davis, I mean, these guys are just true pros, man, true all pros. Look, in the South, I think with the addition of Jarvis Landry and if Jameis, which obviously is the key, man, if Jameis is healthy, look out for the Saints. Everyone knows that the Saints can whoop you at any time. They were just depleted last year. And the Bucs know this in particular, which is what everyone points to in the South as being the team that has to be beaten. Tampa Bay with Tom Brady. Tom knows what New Orleans is coming with. Tom knows how New Orleans can play. Everyone else in the NFC better watch out too, especially if Jameis Winston is all right.
That's an important point, Dan, which is that with the exception of that playoff game, which is obviously an enormous exception, and I don't want to make it seem like we're piling on Drew here, but I mean, Brees threw a bunch of interceptions in that game. Outside of that, since Brady came to Tampa, the one team he can't beat is New Orleans. The Saints have had his number despite the fact that Brady won the Super Bowl. Is the sense that you get around talking to people, Dan, that right now people view the Saints as a legitimate threat to unseat Tampa as the division champ?
A legitimate threat, no doubt. Look, the Saints certainly view themselves that way. And if you look at their offseason, it has set up that way. They made win-now moves. They won 9 games last year with no offense at all. I mean, they had nothing at wide receiver. The quarterback was hurt. It was basically Alvin Kamara, and that was it. So they have a great defense that can win them games. And they've made upgrades on offense. Look, there are some big questions, right? Is Jameis Winston going to come back healthy? And is he going to be the guy that we saw early last year in terms of better at limiting turnovers than he was earlier in his career? And then the coaching change is significant. I mean, people think Dennis Allen is a good coach, but he was not a successful head coach the first time around. And Sean Payton has been such a central figure in that organization for so long that going from him to anyone else obviously leaves open some questions. So some questions to answer, but a good-looking roster for sure.
Super quickly before I go, I was just telling Lewis, I love his basketball tweets. He tweets constantly during the basketball games. Who's the number one pick? If you were picking an NFL draft for all the NBA players, who's the first pick in the NFL draft if you're selecting from the NBA player? Who'd be the best NFL player of all the NBA stars?
The best NFL player?
Yes. You're talking about the NFL player.
Okay, well, oh, wow, man. I don't know. Look, I'll just tell you this. I'll tell you who my favorite player in the NBA is, period.
Yeah.
Okay, right now. The guy who I pay money to see, and that's Jason Tatum. Every time the Celtics are on, I tell my son, just watch number zero. Watch number zero. That's my guy.
Follow Lewis Riddick on Twitter during the basketball. It's awesome. Guys, thank you for jumping in here. Jam-packed we are. We're getting Pat Bev back in here in a moment. Wait until you hear what he has to say about Chris Paul and the significance of what happened yesterday and what didn't happen yesterday. That's on the way. We're fired up on a Monday. Get up on ESPN.